Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you so much again. It's such a privilege, Lord, to get together and worship you and praise you, Father, and talk about the wonderful things you've done in our lives, to pray about the things that we know that you're going to fix for us or do for us. Lord, we just thank you for all that you're going to do tonight. You're a wonderful God. You've given us everything that we need. Lord, you've even given us the faith to believe that we can believe for them. Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you for the words that come out tonight. Lord, place it in our heart to speak only as an oracle of you and to speak the words of the word of God, and let it be a revelation knowledge that comes forth from the ones who want to share, and we just praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we're in. I know there's apostles and prophets and all of the old timers wishing they were alive now so they could go through this great time ahead. And Father, we just praise you and thank you that we're going to be part of it. We're going to get to see this great revival that's fixing to take place, Lord. And we pray it in. We pray the revival start today. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for all the souls that are going to be saved throughout the next few years, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for all the people, the new people, brothers and sisters in Christ that we're going to meet along the way. And we thank you for that, Lord. Tonight, Father, just work in us, speak through us. Lord, let your signs and wonders and the gifts be in operation. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless everybody that comes in tonight with your Holy Spirit, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
I was with my family over the weekend, and I was talking to Brooke, and they had her take some kind of a pill before she would go to bed, because when she'd get up in the morning, her sugar was higher than they wanted it to be. And it wasn't like, it, you know, they're so micromanaging her, and they're still not happy with her levels. So they put her on insulin, you know, at night, you know, before she goes to bed or whatever. So, I just want to pray about that. I'm not even quite sure how to pray about that, because I've been praying against all this and believing the Lord for it. But I just feel like the Lord's saying that it's the point where her and Kurt have to have faith. And they just, I don't know. I really don't know how to pray. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for what you're doing, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to, I know Kurt and Brooke aren't happy about it. And they think that they're micromanaging her and making a bigger deal out of it. At the same time, they know, they say they don't, you know, know how all this stuff works and everything. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that no harm is going to come to Brooke through this, and that her sugar level is going to stay down to satisfy them all around. And I just rebuke the spirit of pharmacia. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I just bind up all these spirits of pharmacia that are trying to give them the doctors an excuse to micromanage her and do whatever their witchcraft and everything. And I thank you, Lord, that you're watching over her and Maverick, and that she is going to come through this well, and so is Maverick, and there are not going to be any issues. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to go into labor all on her own, and she's going to be able to nurse Maverick, Lord, and have plenty of milk, Lord. And I just praise you, and I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you are using this, Lord, to draw them to you, and that they see the manipulation and all of doctors. And I thank you, Lord, that you're just opening their eyes to how the system works, and they're making big deal over nothing. And I just I thank you, Lord, for using this to draw them to yourself, that they know that you are the Savior. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for bringing them into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We break the power of pharmakia off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Command it to be stopped in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, you can provide everything she needs. Everything she needs. Father, we thank you for doing that. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for showing them you are the Savior, Lord, through this, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing yourself, however that looks. And they know that it was you, Lord. Showing yourself strong and knowing, Lord, that that you showed up the doctors. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Thank you, Father. All right, Isaac or Mariana.
It's me. Okay. Hey, everybody. Good to see y'all. Hi. It's a lot of hands. They, well, I'm not, hey, boy, stop that. So I'm not, what am I not doing? Well, I'm not actually asking you guys, you pray if you want, but Michael's already prayed for me. I'm actually, what am I doing? Sorry, it's been a long day after work. I just walked in the house. I'm telling you guys a testimony, a pre-testimony before it happens. That's why I raised my hand. So there's a hurricane a-coming. Y'all heard about it, right? And we got a house in Sarasota. And we're closing on it the 30th, which is my birthday, which is Nick's birthday, which is Israel's birthday. Happy birthday, Nick. The thing is, I just want to share this awesome testimony that it's going to miss. And, you know, I'm just thankful that we got a ministry and we got people and we got a good Lord that takes care of us and provides for us. And so I'm just sharing it ahead of time. And I actually asked Michael earlier this weekend or so that, you know, to pray for it. And it was good to know that I had my priorities straight because I totally forgot to mention Geneva. She lives in down there. So just pray for the house. Geneva would be fine. Don't worry about her. But everything's going to be awesome. And, you know, and just, but I will pray for all the people there in Florida, people I don't know. So I'll just say a prayer. Lord, thanks, Father, that you do so much for us. It's really a blessing. Thanks, Lord, that I can rest. And I'm going to rest all the way throughout the night. I'm going to go sleep. And Lord, thank you. Be with them people, Father. Keep them safe, Lord. Let them draw near. There's a time of repentance, Lord. And, you know, this nation needs that. You know, they need you. And, Lord, I ask you, Father, touch the hearts and minds of the people so they can change their minds. Lord, and that we can continue to change our minds, too, and always be renewing our minds because we have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's all. Thank you, folks.
We thank you, Lord, for the great testimony that's going to come because of this. In Jesus' name, because your glory is going to be shown. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Donna. Got to unmute.
Okay, so I have a testimony. Last Thursday after the Zoom meeting, God showed me I had a spirit of condemnation, a spirit of rejection, and a spirit of self-righteousness, and which I did not, you know, you don't realize you have. And so I have repented of these things, and I just praise God. He is an awesome God. I love him so much. And I am thoroughly blessed that he was able to show me that, you know. So that's my testimony. I no longer have all those spirits. I have the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in me, ruling in me, and amen.
Yes, you do. Praise God forevermore. Lord, thank you for your cleansing power that has gone through her. And now she is a wonderful child of God, and she can command the promises to be hers in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Not only Amen. That, Lord, people are going to see the light flying off of her. In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask her, what is that bright light coming around you? She's going to be able to open the door for it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Claire.
Morning, everyone. I have a praise report. I have been struggling tremendously with my sleep in the past little bit. And I mean, either way you look at it, when you go through a trial, like there's such good stuff that comes out of going through a trial. So I'd wake up in the middle of the night and just start, like, just pray, because I can't get to sleep and I don't have anything in my head. I'm not anxious about anything. So I would just pray. It was a wonderful time to pray. I'd catch up on listening to David or listening to Michael. And I'm sure David's heard this many times, but I really believed that he'd put me to sleep like he used to do, and he just wouldn't. So it was a tough one. And then it was getting quite pathetic, really. So I reached out to David, because I also didn't want to, like, wake Rian up every single night. The man has got to go work and be competent at work, right? So I reached out to Michael and David, and I said, please pray for me. And I was seeking the Lord. I said, if this is something that I've done, or if it's something that I am, please correct me. I want the correction. I want to be free from this. And I was, you know, willing to do, repent, change, whatever it is. And I opened my Bible up onto where Rachel just won't stop weeping for her children. She can't be comforted. And I thought, okay, I know what happens after that, so that's okay. And I asked David and then to pray. And he said, yeah, they'd pray in the morning meeting. And I still sought the Lord, and I cast this thing out, whatever it was. I didn't even think that it was insomnia. Like, that word didn't even enter my brain. And David said, oh, we'll just cast this demon of insomnia out, agree. And I said, okay. And I sent him a prayer back. And then the Lord gave me this vision of this demon that was in my mom's and dad's room when they were here visiting, of this bull with two horns, with arrayed in jewelry. And my parents struggle with insomnia, but after they left, we, like, cleansed the house, did warfare. And I thought, oh, this thing would have left, you know? So I knew they struggled with it, but it didn't affect me while they were here. Anyway, so when Rian got home, I told him, look, I can see this thing. It's there. And I'm sure that's the thing that's bugging me, even though it's not affecting anyone else in the house. So I was a bit weak at this point, and Rian just prayed for me, and he cast it out, and I saw the bull run down the street, which was so good. And I will say this, like, I was, even though I received that vision and accepted it by faith, like, when I went to bed last night, I had a little bit of anxiety trying to come on me, because I just didn't want another bad night. It's been like maybe 3 weeks of bad nights. And so I had to pray and confess. And I just said to the Lord, I have nothing else. I've done nothing. I haven't, you know, like, I don't have any, I'm not using any lavender oils or doing anything out of my own. Like, I just trust you that you're going to do this. And Rian prayed for me again. I fell asleep and I woke up this morning to the birds chirping, praise God. It was so good. I had such a good night's rest, and I'm so grateful to the Lord. He's so faithful. He will take us through the trial, and he will be victorious in everything. And I'm trusting for a good night's rest for everyone here, and that we can always just count on him to take us through. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, we prayed for you last night in the fellowship. Good time. It's an awesome time last night also. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Claire. It's always good to get a good night's sleep, ain't it? Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I have a testimony to share. I was texting with my sister about going to see her over the weekend, and she mentioned about that her right hip, like leg or whatever, was bothering her. So, and it had been really hurting her the past few days. So I sent her a text, you know, prayer, commanding healing. And so then when we saw her, I told her about what the Lord has manifested healing to. I'd been for like a year, maybe a little more than a year, I've been having problems with my right, like hip, lower back area or whatever, and I didn't know what it was. And the other day, it was like Thursday, Friday or whatever, I was out walking and it wasn't hurting me, because I'd been praising and thanking the Lord a lot that it is healed, and my sciatic nerve is feeling so much better. It is healed in Jesus' name, manifestly. But so anyway, so I was telling her about that. So I prayed for her, and she went on confessing that she's healed. She said we had her, Merle, and I had some real good fellowship. So then yesterday morning, she texted me and said that her hip and leg or whatever is so much better. And she said, I'm healed. Jesus healed me, you know. But anyway, in her text. So I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for that. And I wanted to read to you what she texted me. She says, where did it go to? Oh boy. Okay, this is what she said yesterday when she says, thank you, Jesus. I am healed so much better today. My God knows me, loves me, sees me, meets me right where I am, and has healed me. Thank you, for you are precious and are always with me. Amen. And then I sent my little Snoopy jumping up and down saying hallelujah. And then she says, thank you, Jesus, I am healed. And I said, yes, you are. And she says, I love you, sissy, so blessed and thankful for you. And I said, we're both blessed. And I thank God for her too, because she's the only one in the family that I can share as openly as I do. And we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And just wanted to share that, you know, her excitement and exuberance and confessing the Lord. And I just praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Ariana.
All just come into agreement for my neighbour, Michael. Yesterday, I came home from the local shop and was just about to come into my door. And he he said, Ariana. And I turned around. I said, oh, Michael, are you okay? And he said, Jane, that's his wife, she died on Monday. And I was like, no way. And I just sat, because I have a little wall by the door, I just sat there and started crying. And I said, I'm so sorry, you must be in absolute shock. He said, yeah, he said she was in so much pain last week that I had to call the ambulance, and they took her to the hospital, and they discovered that she'd had a cyst in her ovary, and it had spread. This was only in the few days she was in there, and it had spread and killed her, basically. And he started talking about the vaccine, the potion, and he said, you didn't take it. I said, no, he warned me not to, because he knows. And he said, well, I think there's a correlation there towards her death. She's only like in her mid-50s. And so he's in shock. And I asked him, can I please pray for you, Michael? He said, yes. Yeah. So I went over to him and I just gave him a hug. And then I just started praying for him, and just prayed, you know, that the peace, the all-surpassing peace of our Heavenly Father come upon him, and that the comforter be sent to comfort him, and that he can use this time as a time of deep reflection, and to know that Heavenly Father is not far from him, and to really consider about Jesus, and that he is the resurrection and the life, and that he call out to Heavenly Father whenever he needs to, especially when he feels very sad and in grief, and that he's not far off from him. And I said, I asked him, if there's any, in any way I can practically help you, please don't hesitate to let me know. I said, I'd like to make you some meals. And he has a small allotment, and he's given me food from it before as well, which is very kind. But later on that evening, he came by with some ingredients, bless him, so I could make some meals for him. So I made a meal from today and left it outside his doorstep. And he got me a little card just to say thank you, and thank you for praying for him. And I said, I'll keep you in my prayers. And I was able to use it as a good opportunity to witness as well, because he said to me, oh, you know, there's no escaping this, you know, this plague, this pestilence. And I said, well, they have actually aerosolized it as well. And I said, this is why, you see, the people of God in the past, you know, they put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts so the angel of death would pass over them. And I said, you see, that blood of the lamb is Jesus Christ. And I said that we come under his wings of protection. And I said, but it's more than that. I said, it's about having a very close and personal and sanctified relationship with the Lord God. And he said, yes, I know. I said, I know that Jane, you know, did appreciate Jesus Christ, and I could talk to her about Jesus. And I said, I just pray she is with the Lord now, you know, so just please just keep him in prayer during this difficult time, and that it open an avenue for his soul and spirit to be granted repentance, and that he be able to give his entire life to the Lord God. Yeah, so that's it, really. Thank you.
Amen. What did you say was wrong with you, Mariana? I didn't catch that part. Your audio is a little bit messed up for me.
Oh, sorry. His wife died.
Oh.
His wife died of it's correlated to her having the potion, you know, the jab. So she and they discovered when they took it, she was in so much pain. They looked internally, they did obviously post-mortem, and they discovered she'd had a cyst on her ovary, and it spread and became cancerous and basically killed her within a few days. Mm-hmm. And he started suspecting that there is a correlation towards this vaccine, and he said it's a genocidal tool. I said, yeah, it is, absolutely. And he said, you know, I know you didn't take it. And I said, no, Jesus warned me not to take it, because he knows, you see, he never tells us to do anything that will harm us, you know. So, yeah, so it ended up being a good witness. Yeah. So he's just grieving at the moment for his wife who died last Friday.
Okay, well, Lord, keep mocking in prayer to you, Lord, that he would turn to you in a mighty way. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're working on his heart now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for granting repentance and bringing him in. In Jesus' name, it'll get rid of all the sorrow that he's gone through. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for what you're doing in him right now. In Jesus' name. Everybody believe that for Michael? Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. All right, Geneva.
I think Missy had her hand up. Missy, I don't know if she wanted to pray or not. Oh, you didn't for that? Okay. All right. I just wanted prayer for the hurricane. You know, me and Morgan, we went outside with Marissa on the phone, and we commanded that thing to go back out into the sea and to stay there and that nobody get hurt. And, you know, the Lord just protect us because, you know, we actually don't have a window in one of our rooms. So I'm just trusting and thanking the Lord that he's going to keep us safe. And Morgan put some boards up and whatnot, but I'm putting the baby to bed right now. Sorry if you hear her little music thingy. But anyways, Michael, if you could just say the prayer and us all believe in agreement that this hurricane is just going to dissipate in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, we prayed last night for that hurricane. We prayed that it would go around you or not even come into you or split and do that. So, Lord, we just thank you that we believe what we prayed last night is going to happen. It's already starting to happen. Soon as it gets close, it's going to come around them, and the glory of God is going to be known because of it. We thank you for it, Father. Just like you did that snow blizzard for us that time, you're going to do this for Geneva and Isaac and all of those, all of your people down there, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for doing this for them. Now, hurricane, you split and go around them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that nothing or anyone is going to be hurt by it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This thing Amen. Is gone. I thank yes, you, God, is. That you have completely protected us and protected our minds, and that, Jesus, there is no better time than to be at peace in the storm and sleep through the storm just as you did, Lord. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Where are you, Geneva? Are you in Sarasota?
No, I'm in Port Charlotte, so it's like
okay.
Sarasota, Venice, Englewood, Port Charlotte.
Okay. Well, it's not going to hit any of our people or anywhere near our people. God's people.
Amen.
In
Amen.
The name of Jesus, we praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Isaac had a dream about that. I believe that's exactly what's going to happen. All right.
Michael, you want me to share?
Yeah, go ahead and share it.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I put it in the chat, but yeah, basically in this dream, I'll give you a little more detail. This was a few days ago, and I prayed about it. No, yeah. It was the night I called Michael that day, and we prayed about it together. And then that night I had a dream, which is so cool. But here's what happened. So it went around. I was above the world looking down, and I could see. I was like in the spirit, and I could see the earth, and I could see the hurricane, and it was gaining strength. And it went around Cuba or whatever, or Puerto Rico, or I don't know what it is over there. I'm not good at geography. Anyways, but it went around, and it came up toward the Gulf, and it was going toward Texas. And then it took a, it turned on a dime and started heading toward Texas, to where I live. But the thing was, it was mad at me because it wanted to go to my house directly. But I just knew it in the dream. You know how you just know these things. And man, it put the pedal to the metal and started coming to my house. And right as it was about to make landfall, This is the weird part. I seen like two different things happen. So,
excuse me.
It like split, and most of it went up north, and it didn't even affect my house whatsoever. None at all. We're totally good. Geneva, you know, same. You're south of me, and it was just amazing. And it was like it meant business. It meant to come to my house, but it didn't have the authority to. It just got deflected, right? And, man, that's what's going to happen. That's all I know about it. But, yeah, that's the
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for confirmation. We praise you, Lord. That's going to, that hurricane ain't got a chance for order today. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Anyone else? We had today in this house right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Russians. I'm telling you, we did. We all made it out alive. Praise God forevermore. We had a wonderful time together today. As I was telling y'all a little bit earlier. Yeah, yeah. Well, we had quite a number of people here today. I had made a great little pot of soup, and we had a good time together. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I have two requests. One of them, I just found out one of the ladies that I used to go to church with at the Baptist church, gosh, it's already been 2 years since I left. I can't even believe it. But she was a pretty good friend of mine. We did a lot of stuff together, and she just, we just found out that she has leukemia, and she had to get blood transfusion, and now they're going to start chemotherapy and stuff. So I just wanted to pray about that. And I haven't talked to her for quite a while. So I just want to pray about how I should go about if I should contact her, and I'll just pray faith over her. I don't know, just looking for guidance on that. And what was I going to say? Yeah, so she, you know, that was the Baptist church. So, you know, where their beliefs are. So, you know, if I pray faith and what I know now, she, you know, she won't understand it, or, you know, I don't know where she'll be with that. So I'm just going to pray. And if you can believe, and if you have anything to add, that'd be great. Lord, we just thank you for my friend, Cindy. Lord, she's been such a good friend to me in the past. And we just pray for just rebuke these spirits of infirmity off of her, Lord, that she would just be, she is healed from this, Lord. And just give me wisdom on any opportunities to talk to her, Lord, and just to give her the mindset to just speak the good report, Lord. And just like Joshua and Caleb did, just to have the good report and not be outnumbered by the giants or anything, and that she can have faith for that, Lord, that she can receive that and have faith for that and believe that way, Lord. Just give me an opportunity to speak with her. And Lord, we, you know, any religious spirits, Lord, that might be interfering, Lord, we just bind those up, Lord. And Lord, you know the spirits that are involved. And Lord, just bind those up and cast them off, Lord, into a deep well, Lord, so that they won't be in the way of the healing that's to come with for her, to open her eyes and, you know, open so many eyes with her healing, Lord, to the truth. So in Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We break the power of that religious, non-believing Baptist doctrine off of Cindy right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're going to, we ask, Lord, that you would open up her spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear the truth of the gospel. That if you allow Benita to speak to her, that she speaks only the word of God. You know, Lord, Mark 11:23 and 24, John 14:14, all of those wonderful scriptures, Lord, that you've given us as promises. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that she will open up her eyes and she'll be able to be prayed for and you will heal her, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I break the power of this leukemia off of her in Jesus' name and command you to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for doing a mighty miracle in her and her family in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you're going to get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe it, Lord. We just thank you for it, Lord, for opening up her eyes and ears to hear the truth of the gospel. They don't have the truth of the gospel. They don't know the truth of the gospel. They don't even teach them in seminary the truth of the gospel. Father God, and I know that's why tribulation is coming, to get your people out of those kind of places. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. All right. Praise God.
Amen, Lord. We also bind up any effects of the vaccine that she'd taken, that those would be just reversed and nullified in her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I think we're going to anoint some oil today, so I'll be taking that with me over there, too.
Okay. All right. You got that cloth ready?
I got it. Yep, I'm ready.
All right. All right, Lord, we just thank you for this cloth that represents the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I thank you that when Benita anoints that cloth, that your Holy Spirit power would be all, healing power would be all over it. Lord, we have done this many times in the past. And Lord, many people have been healed. And lots of people have done this, Lord. We're no exception. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that healing cloth to be infused with the healing power of God in it. And when she puts it on his leg, Frank's leg tonight, and tells him this is an anointed cloth that has been prayed for by everybody on the outreach, and believe that you're healed as you sleep with this tonight. It's going to heal your leg. It's already healed. And Father, is it his leg or his back?
It's his leg. It's the sciatica, so from his back.
Okay. And in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. Frank will see this, and it will be an absolute miracle for him. And we praise you, Father, that he's going to come into the kingdom in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, and believe what your word says. Glory be to God. Glory be to God, glory be to God. And we praise you, Father, for your anointing power on this cloth in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord.
Amen. I just want to share also, you know, you told me to get ready today and I was so excited. I'm like, oh, this is, you know, we need this in this house. And then Frank woke up in the morning that next day and he said, I think I'm going to leave today to go up north. I said, you can't leave Tuesday because we're going to pray over it. So he was planning on leaving. And I was just like, well, what am I going to do if he's not going to be here? How are we going to do this? But he ended up, I prayed about it and just praying about it all day. And he ended up not leaving. And so he's here tonight. So
praise God.
And then, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. And then the other thing that was just such a blessing, I'd never really had any experience with anointing oil and anointing it in any way. So I don't know why I didn't think to look anything up on the UBM site, but I just went out to YouTube and I typed in anointing oil. I just to make sure I had the right kind of oil. I heard before it didn't matter what kind of oil, because it just needs to be anointed. So, but anyways, there was just a short 15-minute video. I don't even remember the guy's name. It wasn't Derek Prince. It was another Prince, some younger Prince guy. Maybe you've heard of him, but he had just such an awesome video, 15-minute video about anointing oil. And it talked about how that's for the church age. And it talked about Bible code and how it's in the Bible code. And he just did a great job in just a short time. And I was able to share that with Frank, and he watched it. And so he could see, kind of get an idea of, you know, where it is biblically and how it applies to us. So that was just that video was just perfect for what we needed for today. So when he's being anointed, he'll have a good background for it biblically. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I believe it. I've seen it happen many, many times. People get healed. Cancers, terminal cancers, with just a cloth, you know, that's what they think. Amen. Thank you, Father. You did anoint it with oil. I know you did. Okay, good.
Yes, I got the oil. I got the cloth.
Well, it's anointed by the Holy Spirit now.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Nick.
I got good news. I got a call from my boss today, and she said I got a raise.
Well, praise the Lord. Lord, a God of raise is always good. Thank you, Lord. All right, man in the money.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you, Father, for doing that for Nick. I know he's thankful for it, too. Amen. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yes, thank you, Lord, for blessing Nick. Well, all right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to bring up? Thursday night is praise night, I believe. So we'll have that. Yeah, Nick.
My birthday is this Friday.
No, you can't have two birthdays in one year, Nick. I thought you already had a birthday.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, happy birthday. When is it? Friday? Well, we'll sing birthday. Friday. Well, we'll sing happy birthday for you Thursday night.
Okay.
Yes, Lord.
I'll be turning 28.
Oh, man. 28. You're getting old, boy. You're getting old. Praise God. Well, just be glad you made it that old.
Yeah.
Amen. Spring chicken. All right. Anyone else? Well, I guess we can pick up where we left off on this chapter 7, Tongue Conquers a Curse. I got it marked here. I think we're on page 13. Yeah, Pat.
Thank you, Vanita, for posting that. This weekend, I was praying about something. I had a conversation with my wife and whatnot, and we were discussing some things. But the Lord gave me a scripture, a couple scriptures, I don't know, a couple days ago, and it kind of applies to what Vanita was. It reminded me of what Vanita was saying when her friend in the Baptist church. And she was discussing, you know, what she was thinking and the spirit of religion and whatnot. And one of the scriptures that the Lord gave me was over in 1 Corinthians. I just wanted to read it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it was one of the things about, I guess, I don't know if you call the non-spirit-filled sector of Christianity, if that would be the conservative section of Christianity as opposed to the spirit-filled, which would be liberal or free or whatever. I'm not quite sure, but the thing that hit me, because I went through a couple sections of scripture, and the thing that the conservative or non-spirit-filled side of Christianity, that they are, well, I'll read these scriptures and maybe just say something about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it said, "But unto us God has revealed them," talking about verse 9. Verse 9 it says, "But it is written, things which the eye saw not, and the ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And I was thinking about the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus when he came to talk to him. And he came at night, and he said, you know, that we know that you are from God, because no man could do the works that you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb," excuse me, "and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born anew. The wind blows where it will, and thou hear the voice thereof, but thou knowest not whence it cometh or whether it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And the thing that hit me as I got to thinking about it is, as Nicodemus came to Jesus, he was obviously a non-spirit-filled believer in God, but he did not have that indwelling spirit that he was, that allowed him to perceive the inner depths of God and his, in that relationship of a new covenant relationship. And he was left to see God and God's perspective through his mind, and which is the basis of an old covenant relationship with God. At least I think it is. And that example that Jesus gave about the wind blowing where it will is that those that are led and live in the perspective of the Holy Spirit, many times you can't tell, what I'm going to say is that sometimes the people that are living in the old covenant relationship with God have a hard time discerning where a spirit-filled person is going and where they're coming from and what do you mean by what you're saying? I'm not quite sure where you're going with that. You know, there's kind of a missing depth or length or a depth there. And I remember, I kind of felt the same thing when I went through the Baptist religion, is that I felt a little bit, I was trying to discern what I was seeing, what I was experiencing going through that process. And I think this kind of reveals it to me. And those verses in 1 Corinthians, of course, I think Andrew could probably explain them a lot better than I can, but because he's a Corinthians man, I can tell. But the thing that hit me was that verse 11 where it says, who among men knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of a man. In other words, that the only way that a person could really explain or allow others to understand what is inside them is if he was able to take his mind or his inner spirit and transfer it over into another man so that you would be able to perceive the reasons why and the perspective of what that person is thinking or whatever. You could understand what he was, where he's coming from and what he's thinking or saying. And likewise, God does the same thing with us by giving us his spirit. So, I think the reason I kind of am bringing it up is because I feel that the majority of Christianity now is dwelling in, I believe, kind of an old covenant, legalistic, lawful relationship with God, which obviously doesn't exist anymore. But we have received the life of Christ in the new covenant and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which allows us to live in that perspective with God. So I guess what Vanita was saying kind of brought that back up into my mind as to why it may be hard for people to, you know, perceive or see or desire healing and the confidence in the belief that God can heal and does heal today. So anyway, I just I will say one thing though. I would like prayer for myself, because I went through that process and I know that I have been, I went through that process, went through the traditions, went through the non-spirit-filled sector of Christianity. And I kind of had to weed my way through and find my own way. And I know that when I sought the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I can't remember a time other than a few times of it seemed as though God just filled me up. But I know at that time I did not, it wasn't evidenced in speaking in tongues or prophecy or visions or dreams or anything like that. It was a tremendous, awareness of his presence and whatnot. And it seems as though I'd been prayed for by a couple people, UBM, Michael, and a few other people about receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled and speaking in tongues and whatnot. The tongues came later with me, but I don't remember having a specific experience of feeling this sense of God's spirit coming upon me and an overflowing gushing of tongues or anything coming out of me. So, and because of that, I've always kind of had this wonder, this, you know, I don't know if it's a doubt or whatever, or a question of whether I've really received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I kind of say that now, and either ask for prayer or input or a thought or whatever, you know, maybe somebody else has some experience that way.
Well, you're when you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit of God. And you can ask the Lord to put more into you. If you remember, we talked about John Lake here last week and how he went around for about a year seeking more Spirit, more the Spirit of God. And it's a hunger for God that brings more. And a lot of people just like to think because they speak in tongues, you know, they're sealed, they're ready to go in. We should want more of God all the time. Should be a hunger, and that's going to be a time, I believe, for those that are running after the Lord, that there will be a time where you don't worry about nothing because God has filled you to the fullest. Sin, death, hell, and the grave has no hold on you at all. sickness has no hold on you, because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are God's person. That's where he wants us. He wants us to believe without doubt that we are a child of God, son of man, son of God, son and daughter of God. And when we get to that point, nothing can affect you. Nothing can affect you. There'll be no doubt that God, is God going to do this? Is God not going to do this? I want to get to that point. And I know everybody in here wants to get to that point. And the way to get to that point is to run after him with all your heart. And Lord, I just ask that for all of us, that you place it in us, Lord, right now, to run after you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Father. And I ask that you give us the strength to run through, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for filling us with you, Lord, with all of you, Lord, and giving us the wherewithal to cry out and to know that we are filled with your Holy Spirit. We can't get any more than what we will allow in, Lord. I ask that you throw out and away from me and all of my brothers and sisters any kind of wall that would hinder you from working in us at a full capacity. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And Father, I believe that you are absolutely working at in every one of us right now. And even those that will be listening to the broadcast later, Lord. And I thank you for it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, doubt and unbelief, go from this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. Every portion of doubt and unbelief, leave this body right now. And Father, we thank you and we trust you that you're bringing us in to this place to where nothing affects us, because we know that you're with us and we don't get anxious for nothing. Sickness doesn't bother us. Sin doesn't bother us. Pandemics don't bother us. We're not even scared of them. We'll walk up there like a lake and understand that disease cannot bother us, because the Holy Spirit has filled us with his everlasting love and power. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for my brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It is done, and I believe it, Lord.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, my, my, my. All right. Walking in victory. That's what we do. We walk in victory when we know that we have the mind and body of Christ. Glory to God. And we're filled with God's anointing of love. Love conquers all. It conquers all. And Father, we praise you. Thank you for it, Lord. All right. Anyone else? I believe it. I believe this is going to be a pivotal night for everybody. Yes, Samuel.
Just wanted to quickly say, get your running shoes ready. Get your running shoes ready. We'll just keep on chasing after the Lord. And they won't wear out either. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Put them running shoes on, fella. Lord of God, we're running after the Lord with all our heart. As a matter of fact, we called him. And he's called us. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. The reason, in my humble estimation, that there are so many denominations is because of self ruling. That's what I believe. I believe self ruled, getting away from the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd rather have my sin and I'd rather have a whole lot more of God. Yeah, Nick.
I think we should all jump up for joy too.
All right, lead us up. Lead us into it, brother. Lead us into it. Jump up and praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God, Lord of God, Lord of God. That's good. Praise you, Father. We do. We just praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. You better come up out of that chair, Missy, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord, because you're worthy of our praises, Lord. We thank you for the victory that you've given each and every one of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, my, 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 my. Praise your holy name. Well, thank you, Nick, for suggesting that, because that's exactly what God wanted. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. We do that quite often here. As a matter of fact, we'll just jump up and start praising God. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Ariana.
Yeah, so what's interesting is on, was it Sunday, I went into town because they had some stalls there that were selling things from different counties. So they were visiting. But what was interesting was it actually ties in with what you just said about all the denominations, demonations, as I call them.
Yep.
The Seventh-day Adventist women there, and they were trying to give me one of Ellen White's books. It was called The Great Controversy or something. I read up a lot, so I understand a lot of stuff and I know a lot. But anyway, the point being is they were, I said, no, I really don't want your book. Thank you very much. I'm grateful for the revelation, some of the revelations that God gave that woman. But I pointed to her name on the book and I said, who is more important than this woman? And I had to wait and I was like, please, Lord God, I pray that they say Jesus. And then they said, Jesus is more important. I said, exactly. I said, so under Jesus, he said that we must not add to or take away from his word and that we must always speak in agreement with what he said. And I said that, why can you not rejoice in me that I am under his leadership and he is our leader and our God and our shepherd? And they just kept saying, oh, you know, you need to listen. You need to come. You see, they got very offended because I would not come under their denomination. And I was just explaining to them through God's word what he himself stated, you know, but they weren't very happy about that. It was like, unless you become a Seventh-day Adventist, you are not really serving God properly, you know. And I said, well, you know, I just said that she was a woman and we don't follow a woman as a leader, first of all. That really upset them as well. And I
really you knew how to get out of a goat, didn't you?
Oh, I really did. But you know what was funny as well? I didn't know. I don't know all their beliefs, but our Heavenly Father has such a wonderful sense of humor. Because I said, I've met one of your ladies before, and she said I had to go to her building, otherwise she would not associate with me. And I said, and God gave this woman a heart attack. I said, and the thing was, you see, I didn't know this, but our Heavenly Father put this in my mouth. And I said, and I'm just so grateful she didn't end up in hell. And this woman nearly fainted. She was like, hell? Because they don't believe in hell. They don't actually believe in hell. And when I got home, I was laughing because I said, oh, Heavenly Father, you are so funny. You know, you make me laugh so much. And then do you know what as well? Because she was making so many assumptions and presumptions about me, but really God's, you know, Jesus was filling my mouth with his words, because he told me to say to her, I want you to tell her this. You know nothing about my life or anything about me, but you make so many assumptions and presumptions about me. And Jesus meant himself to her. Jesus meant himself to her. And I said to her, you know, you do talk a lot about coming out of her, my people. And I said, well, God, Jesus is calling you out from this organization, you know. And and I said that, you do realize that your building has charity status in this country? And she said, oh, well, that's not our fault. And I said, but you still come under it. And I said, I just pray that, all I can do is pray that you will give up your idol for the truths of our Lord Jesus, you know. And she said, well, I pray you give up everything. And I said, I pretty much have. I said, I've given up everything for my Lord, you know, and I'm very happy to. I said, I don't belong to any man-made religious organization. God called me away from all that, you know, and he's calling his true elect away from that. And I said, and I just humbly ask you to examine yourselves before the Lord. But wanting to contribute about the Holy Spirit, you see, the prophet Ezekiel said that, you know, that he will change our hearts of stone and write the laws of God in our hearts and our mind. The thing is, we have to ask every day to be filled with God's Spirit. And he, you know, I can honestly say in 2017, when I did receive the Holy Spirit supernaturally, and I was shocked because I was like, what do? I did feel like Nicodemus. And I said to God, well, you know, well, what do I do? And it's like, you don't have to do anything. I will just bring it upon you, you know. And it was phenomenal to me. I was like, this is just so bizarre. But to me, this was a best kept secret that no Christian had ever told me, you know, because God said to me before, when you tried to serve me, you know, in your younger years and as a teenager and young woman, he said, you tried to do it in your own strength. He said, it can't be done like that. I said, it can't be done. And he said, I will give you my Spirit. And that to me was phenomenal, because then it became so much easier to do what God himself commanded me to do. So this is part of his grace and, you know, undeserved and merited gift. You know, so to me, so many Christians don't understand about being baptized and born again in the Spirit. You know, they try to make out it's two different things. You know, they say that being born again in the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit is two different things. It can be, but it can also be the same, because it's the Holy Spirit, you know. So to me, when that happened, I immediately noticed a shift, you know. And this is, you know, because in 2015, massive things happened and I started coming back to God. And so in 2017, he was just teaching me all the time, you know, and I'd read the Bible, you see, from 11 years old to 30. I was constantly reading God's word. And then I went into the world, but it never left me. God's word never left me. But you see, our Heavenly Father never forgot me. And he remembered the love I had for him at first. And he never would leave me alone. And he kept calling me and calling me and calling me. And he allowed so much to be taken from me just so that I would come back to him. And I knew in 2015, because I had really extreme experiences with the kingdom of darkness and with coming back to God. And I had some really bizarre and amazing supernatural experiences where Heavenly Father had to intervene himself. And I had a very quick introduction to hell myself, because I didn't believe in hell at all. And then three spirits tried to take me to hell, and I knew exactly where they were trying to take me. And I called out God's name. I called out Jehovah. Nothing happened. I called out Yahweh. Nothing happened. And I was like, what do I do? And then I heard in my spirit say, Jesus Christ now. And I said, Jesus Christ, please help me. There's nothing I can do. And these spirits were so strong, so powerful. and I could do nothing. And they were trying to drag my soul, literally, they were trying to rip my soul out of my body to take it into hell with them. And I couldn't do anything, that I called out to the Lord. And then I was blinded for 40 minutes and I collapsed on the floor. And Heavenly Father sent heavenly beings to get rid of these demonic spirits and send them back into the pits of hell. You see, and before that time, I never believed. Before that time, I never believed in hell. Never. And then I knew hell was real. And I thought, wow, I could end up there. You know, I could end up there. So, yeah, we have to. You know, I think when you've had such phenomenal experiences and that you can't refute, and they are the truth because God is the truth, is that, you know, when I left God and I went into the world, and it took time for the world to get into me, but all the world did was use me, abuse me, hurt me, trample all over me. And it was only ever Heavenly Father who ever cared about me. The world certainly never cared about me. And Heavenly Father really always was there for me, and he protected me, he looked after me, he never forsook me. I forsook him, okay, but he allowed things to happen in my life just to allow me to be brought back to them. That made me realize how to appreciate who and what he is so much. And this is why my life is all the time spent with the Lord. You see, you can only be filled with the Spirit if you are in the Spirit, if you're abiding in Jesus. You have to take that time with him. You have to spend that precious time. You also get it from his word. You get it from his word. And this is why we're encouraged to be in, unceasingly in prayer, you know, and God gives liberally. He says he gives liberally to those asking him. So, you know, you just have to ask him. And sometimes I know that when we are tested, it seems like he's not there or he's very far away. But I also found that when you are living holy, when you are sanctified, when you completely get rid of the world, and I do mean completely, when you spend all your time with the Lord and you don't give any attention to the world, I don't mean as in research. Yes, do your research. It's important. But I mean, don't be watching TV. Don't be, you know, if this is your choice, you have a choice if you want this. You see, to me, Heavenly Father is the most important thing. That's it. Everything else is rubbish, useless, valueless, unimportant. It's rubbish to me. It's like Paul said, I count everything as dung compared to the illustrious riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the fulfillment of everything in our life. You know, and so the more you feed on him and with him, and he gives that desire in you anyway, is and if you don't have that desire, all you have to do is pray for the desire, ask him, please give me, Lord, that desire for you, and he will liberally give it to whoever. But you have to also decide to cooperate with him if you want to. And then, you see, we're told to walk even as Jesus walked. How did Jesus live? How did our Lord live? He woke up. He was in prayer. He asked the God. He asked the Lord, his Heavenly Father. He asked also the Spirit, what do you need me to do today? Lead me, guide me, show me. And his life was spent ministering, serving the Lord, serving people. This is what we are born for. This is why we become born again. This is why we are new creations in Christ Jesus. We're not here just to live nice, lovely little lives, to make our lives lovely and nice. Our lives here are a sacrifice of service to loving our Heavenly Father and to others, because He loves us and we love and adore Him. You know, why are we here? Why am I here as a new creation? Jesus said, for this reason and purpose, I was born and came into the world. This is why we are born again and come into the world, to be His light bearers, to follow His Spirit and share His Spirit. We are here to help lead people to Christ. We have to live by example and we have to be led by the Spirit. You know,
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So this is the whole point. This is why we're here. And this is why there will be a revitalization and, I would say there has to be a resurrection, not just a revival, a resurrection. The dead bones have to come to life. And God's Spirit is moving because the quiet move of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. I have seen God's Spirit move. When I have prayed, I am amazed at what I see, the consequences of what His Spirit is doing amongst those who truly love Him. It is beautiful, and we must never be in doubt concerning what God, because it's all Him. We are just the vessel. We are the golden vessels in His temple to Him work through. And this is why we must be holy and sanctified, because God will not use a vessel that is dirty. You see, Jesus said you must clean the inside of the vessel for the outside to be clean as well. Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. We don't want to get into any teaching. Glory be to God. When you get ready to do your testimony, that's fine. I'd love to hear it. And we'll give you an amount of time to do that. All right. Anybody else? You got anything you want to say? Comment? All right. We're on page 13 of the book, chapter 7. Praise and thanksgiving. And Ariana, I'll get back with you on that. I'd like to hear it. I know you've got a wonderful testimony, and I'm sure everybody in here would like to hear it as well. I believe we're on the second paragraph there. Is that right, Pat? Somebody?
I actually forgot where, I thought we were on page 9.
No.
But
that might have been where you stopped. I don't know. Anybody else got it marked? I got marked on second paragraph. When I say 13, printed out from chapter 7. That's the 7th. Yeah, Judy. It says, as we have seen in a type.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure what paragraph you're on.
Yeah. As we have seen in a type. You see that, Pat?
Is that? Yeah, okay. That's my page 9.
Okay.
Of what you sent out.
Okay. As we have seen in a type, God divided the whole world at Babel, and later He divided the nations of the world, which came to destroy God's people. God divided them and cause them to kill off each other. During the tribulation, God will again cause the nations to fight with each other, especially during the last 3.5 years, because they persecute His people. God is defending His people with these judgments. Psalm 50:23, whoso offereth the sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. And to him that orders his way aright will I show the salvation of God. God says the same thing about thanksgiving as He does with praise, because they're very much related. And as we learned in previous studies, the word salvation, Greek soteria, verb form sozo, in the New Testament covers salvation, deliverance, healing, provision, salvation in circumstances, and a whole lot more. Most of God's people don't know that through grace they have already been saved, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. If you know that you've already been saved at the cross, then you are in a good position to praise God in the midst of adverse circumstances because you know he's already answered. Just as in praising God, whoever gives thanksgiving to God glorifies him, and they shall be shown the salvation and the deliverance from the problem. Verse 14, offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Sometimes you don't feel like giving thanks to God, and it feels like a sacrifice to do so. You do it anyway. Your mind tells you not to do it because you can't see anything to give thanks for. Well, we're told that we're supposed to give thanks right after we pray. Philippians 4 and 6. We're supposed to thank God because he's heard our prayer and has answered. And remember, when Daniel fasted and prayed for 3 whole weeks, and when the Lord showed up, he said that he had heard Daniel the first day, Daniel 10 and 12. We don't have to beg God since he does everything we say or hears everything we say. He's very close to us, and we're very important to him. Don't spend time begging him. Just thank him and praise him once you've made your request known. Has anybody got any comments on that, Missy? We were talking about that the other day. Once you pray, all you need to do, God's heard your prayer, just praise and thank him for it from that point on. That's all that's necessary. Go ahead.
Yeah. I would like to comment on that. The Lord just so greatly impressed me with that. Sorry, Fudges. She drank too much water. Now she's hacking. Anyway. It's like you pray once and all you do from then on out is just thanking and praising that he's answered you. You know? And we pay too much attention to the enemy. You know, he may be putting a lying symptom on you. And
are you giving your experience here?
Hmm?
Are you giving your experience? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's happened to me too, Missy.
Yeah, you know, I'll get a lying symptom and you know, after I've told the enemy, put him in his place and done warfare against him and, you know, confess and claim my healing and that it's already done and all. Anything that he tries to put on me after that, I just confess the word. The Lord showed me just to confess the word. And you don't need to talk to him and praise him and thank him because it's the enemy hates that. And even, you know, causes your enemies to fight each other too, you know? And our praises defeats the enemy. And so we don't have to keep talking to the enemy. You just confess his word. Just confess God's word. The enemy hates it. And thank him. Thank the Lord. So that's what the Lord just greatly impressed me with. So,
amen. That book, From Prison to Praise, talks a lot about that. Same subject. You know, just praise him in the high, even when you seem like the whole world's coming against you. Praise God. He said he'll work the circuit. What happened when they went to war and the praisers went out there in front of them, you know? Wasn't a shot fired, man. God took care of business. Glory to God. Let's see. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. You give your sacrifice of thanksgiving. You call upon him and he will deliver you because deliverance is part of our overall salvation provided at the cross. 54 and 6, with a free will offering will I sacrifice unto thee. I will give thanks unto thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye has seen my desire upon my enemies. He's already done it, so he will do it. 2 Timothy 4:19, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work. And this is a praise to God. Although some people don't recognize this as praise, of course, Paul is thanking God that it's already done. And that's what we do. Praise God, I'm healed. Glory to God, I thank you for it, Father. And don't say, well, I know I don't feel it. I don't see it manifest, but I'm just thanking you for it. No, no, it's done. 1 Peter 2:24, it was done at the cross 2,000 years ago. I thank you, Lord, it is already done. Praise God, I'm healed. Bless God, and I believe it, and I thank you for it, Father. You get up every day, and you do that, and you keep continuing to do it all day, every day, and you'll walk in the divine health of God. He hath delivered me out of all trouble. Many people don't understand faith. I think that happened manifested to him right there. But we can thank him because the works were finished from the foundation of the world, Hebrews 4:3 said. And we are entering into those works by faith because of Jesus' sacrifice. He's already delivered. He's already saved. He's already healed. He's already sanctified us, and so on and on. Colossians 1:13 says, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We speak in the spirit when we praise God. We brag on what he has already done. He's already done all of this for us, and we should be giving thanks and praise unto him. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Psalm 1:8. Has anybody got anything you'd like to comment on or ask a question about? Psalm 118:19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter into them, and I will give thanks unto the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter into you. Giving thanks is the gate into his presence. The righteous are going to give thanks unto God and will praise him. 21. I will give thanks unto thee, for thou hast answered me and art become my salvation. And we can proclaim it's been done. The Lord said, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received, past tense, them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11:24. We praise God because he has already done it. Once again, salvation, like deliverance, is provided to those who give thanks unto him. Psalms 149:6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in her hand, to execute upon them the judgment written. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. David said, we're conquering our promised land and coming against our enemies. 1 Corinthians 3:21, for all things are yours, because we believe it, it will come to pass. Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And we are joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:1, verse 17. And we own this creation. We are conquering the physical and the spiritual land. The Israelites were going into their promised land to conquer it in the book of Judges. Judges 1:1. It came to pass after the death of Joshua that the children of Israel asked of the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us first against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah, which means praise in Hebrew, shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. How are they going to conquer the Canaanites? They're going to send praise first. How are we going to conquer the enemies? By our spiritual promised land and the physical promised land around us. Praise has to go first. God has given us a key here. And Judas said unto Simeon, which means hearing or to hearken, to hear and obey, his brother, come up with me into my lot that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And when you have praise and you hear and obey, nothing can stop you from taking the promised land. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they smote of them in Bezek 10,000 men. Psalms 149 and 8. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Well, what honor? The honor is to bind their kings and nobles. Psalms 8 basically says the same thing. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You don't have to be mature, the most grown up, or the most wise among God's people to bind the enemy. When Jesus quoted this same verse, he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. He called it praise. So what is strength? It's praise. We need to steal the enemy and the avenger. Amen. He goes on and talks about Merlin Carruthers, and y'all can read that if you want to. I'm not going to read it. But this whole chapter is about what makes you a conqueror in God's weapon in God's kingdom. And that's praising, thanking God. Yeah, Andrew.
The video of Hezekiah Walker there in front of that fountain, and he's praising God. He's got his whole church there, and they're out dancing in the middle of the street. You see all the public stop and look, you know. And, some of them are actually, you can, when the camera goes by, and this is not a person from his church, you can tell they're actually praising God. And and there was even one little baby on the shoulder of his dad there, and he was actually emulating all the praise and hand movements of and the children. I saw that they had big smiles on their faces, the little kids there, and that and it just made a difference. You can see in the people's faces and eyes, they all want to praise God.
It ran all the demons out of that square of the city, didn't it?
For that time, yeah. And it made people think for a while.
Absolutely. That's one of our favorites here.
It's not a difficult song. I'm told that there was a kidnapped boy in the back of a car, and he started singing that song, and the kidnappers threw him in the car. Anyways, I don't know I don't think anyone would lie about that, you know, and I'm sure that boy's really happy because that was a few years ago, and he's probably a young man now, a youth, and he would probably know what he would have went through. Wow. Praise God. Glory to God.
Okay, Julie, I will. Matter of fact, if you like, I'll play it right now. Oh, that is a great song. All right, I'll do that. There's another one that I like too, and that's the one by Charles Dickens.
Good job. Shabbat! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah. To our God. Glory, hallelujah. It's to Yeah.
Amen. Every praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Man, that's a good song. Yes, it is. It's the message. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. It's a whole lot better than Onward Christian Soldier, Marching Out to War.
Now, Michael, that was my hymn last week with my kids, Michael, and they absolutely
That's a good
it.
Song. That is one of the greatest songs. It depends on where you are. Isn't that right, Claire? Yeah, it is, Malcolm. Go ahead, Pat.
Michael, did you notice the part there that you from Merlin Carruthers that you didn't read there, but that gives the example of him climbing the ladder, up and down the ladder, and falling. It gives that example. And it almost relates to what David was talking about in the last message about the ladder of Jacob, you know, Jacob's ladder and that ascending and descending of the angels, which I thought was pretty, it was eye opening. But that story that Merlin Carruthers talks about there in that testimony or that dream or vision that he had or whatever almost relates to that exactly in the same way.
Oh, so, yeah. I didn't read it. It's italicized. Maybe I should read it. You think I ought to read it?
I do. It's a really good example. Yeah.
Well, he says, I want to share a revelation with you from Merlin R. Carruthers, who wrote the book Prison to Pray. Can y'all hear me okay? You may have heard of it. It's famous all over the world. He wrote a book on praise, and he specializes in praise. God gave him a vision that pertains to our study. Underlining had been added for emphasis in my notes or in parentheses. He says, Merlin says, I saw a beautiful, bright summer day. The air was filled with light, and I had a sense of everything being very beautiful. Up above was a heavy, solid, black cloud, beyond which nothing could be seen. A ladder extended from the ground up into the black cloud. At the base of the ladder were hundreds of people trying to get a chance at climbing the ladder. They had heard that above the blackness, there was something more beautiful than anything a human eye had ever seen, something that brought unbelievable joy to those who reached it. As person after person tried to ascend, they quickly climbed into the lower edge of the clouds. The crowd watched to see what would happen. In a short while, the person would come wildly sliding down the ladder and fall into the crowd, scattering people in all directions. They reported that once they got into the blackness, they lost all sense of direction. In other words, their mind was no longer in control here. My time finally came, and I made my way up the ladder into the blackness. It grew so intense that I could feel its power, nearly forcing me to give up and slide back. But step by step, I continued until suddenly my eyes beheld the most intense brightness I had ever seen. It was a brilliant whiteness, too glorious to describe in words. As I came out above the dark cloud, I realized that I could walk on top of it, walking above the darkness. As I looked into the brightness, I was able to walk without any difficulty. When I looked down to examine the nature of the cloud, I immediately began to sink. David says, some of you remember the vision that I have had. If you keep your eyes on the sun, you are able to do supernatural things. Only by looking at the brightness could I stay on top. Then the scene changed and I was back looking at all three levels from a distance. What does it all mean? I asked, and the answer came. The brightest sunshine below the cloud is the light that many Christians live in and accept as normal. The ladder is the ladder of praising me. Many try to climb and learn to praise me in all things. At first, they are very eager, but when they get into things that they don't understand, they become confused and cannot hold on. They lose faith and go sliding back. I'm sure that's what it means. As they fall, they injure other people who have been hoping to find a way to live in continual joy and praise. And those who make it through those difficult times reach a new world and realize that the life they once thought of as a normal cannot be compared to the life that I have prepared for those who praise me and believe that I carefully watch over them. He who reaches the light of the heavenly kingdom can walk on top of difficulties, no matter how dark they may seem, as long as they keep their eyes off the problem and on my victory in Christ. In other words, the fact that it has already been accomplished. No matter how difficult it may seem to trust God to work in every detail of your life, keep clinging to the ladder of praise and move upwards, glory to God. And we need to praise Him and give thanks to Him in the good and in the bad. And we will, by God's grace, make it through. It was like he was told to keep his eyes on the sacrifice. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, who is able to keep us through every circumstance and every situation. When we praise the Lord, we bind those enemies and we are delivered from those enemies. And God causes our enemies to fight with each other. The devil can't do anything with faith. Praise is faith that destroys the curse around us. If you have the word in your heart, if you speak faith and brag on what God has done, then there's nothing that the devil can do to stop you. And we all need to learn to pray and give thanks to God continually. Colossians 4:2. Keeping our eyes on Him. I once had a vision that I was floating on my back in a river, which I could do as long as I kept my eyes on the sun. I could not only float on my back when I kept my eyes on the sun, but I could float upstream. That's a good one. The Lord told me that this is against nature. It's supernatural. Keep your eyes on the sun and you'll have a supernatural life. You'll live above the laws of the world. There is a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2. But there's laws of the world. A law is something that you cannot overcome in the natural. The law of gravity is always enforced in the natural, and you cannot overcome it without the supernatural. God says the way to the supernatural is to keep your eyes on the Son and His Word. If we do, we will overcome the curse. God will cause confusion to our enemy, the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that make war on us. Ephesians 6:12. Glory to God. And we need to ask God to put it in our heart to constantly give praise and thanks unto Him. The benefits are out of this world. And I'll go ahead and read the prayer too. It's going to be a good one. Father, by your grace, we ask that you manifest in us the gift that Jesus gave us on the cross. Would you enable it in us, dear Father, to speak the words of the kingdom? Lord, you said that your spirit will bring to our remembrance all things that you have said unto us in John 14:26. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be slow to speak and quick to listen to the voice of your spirit and quick to hear the promises and the word that comes up in our heart when we let your spirit speak to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace, anointing, and the fullness of your Spirit to walk and speak the words of the kingdom, to represent Jesus Christ, to be an oracle of God, 1 Peter 4:11, to be one who is used by your Spirit to speak your words. And this is what we claim in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We ask, Lord, as you go forth, that your Spirit would be constantly with us, reminding us to agree with your healing, deliverance, provision, holiness, and all things you have said. You said you would supply our every need according to your riches in glory in Philippians 4:19. Let our speech agree with the promises of all things that you have given unto us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We depend upon you, Lord. We depend upon your grace. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, we know if your will is working in us, we are free. For as Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, glory to God, in John 8:32. Lord, we are torn between your will and our will. Sanctify us to your will alone, and then we will be free. For you always get your will, and you always get it your way. We desire, Lord, to desire and remember the things of the kingdom and to speak the things of the kingdom so that your life would be manifested out of us and we would have good success in conquering this promised land. Then the Lord Jesus would live in us, he through us, and would be what he was in the world 2,000 years ago. He through us can continue to go forth to meet the needs of the brethren and to speak the blessings and not the curses. Thank you, Father. Please, Lord, let no corrupt speech proceed out of our mouth, Ephesians 4:29. Thank you for going forth and anointing the true disciples who are out there and blessing them with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, it's your anointing that breaks the yoke. And we desire earnestly to have the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to fill multitudes out there with the power of your latter rain soon, so they may walk in the Spirit and it would be natural to them. Jesus said, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. Lord, we want to be a witness of your life to the whole world, so that when they look at us, they see Jesus in us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I receive that, Lord, and I receive it in measure, much measure, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Whoo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, all right. Yeah, Benita.
I think I have 2 minutes for a praise report, praise whatever. Yeah.
Come with it.
I was on the site the other day. I don't know. I think I had been Holy Spirit in the search box. And this testimony came up from this pastor. His name was Eric Bogan. And he had just started reading David's teaching on the end times or listening to it. And, you know, just like us, it just opened his eyes to the revelation of, you know, not pre-trib and just everything that David teaches. And so he just wrote a testimony about that. And his father was the pastor of their church at the time. And he was supposed to be taking over. And he just, you know, they were teaching the more traditional, I guess, Baptist type of teaching there. And he couldn't do that once he read and believed and understood David's teaching. And so so he just couldn't do it. So in the testimony that he wrote there, he said he started teaching the truth. And so anyways, I went to look up, because he said he was from Michigan. I'm like, wow, he's from Michigan. That's awesome. So I looked it up and he's just like from Flint, which is right here. We're in Flint. And so that was so exciting. And so I went out to his website to see which church he was at. And so he's going through a series right now. It's called The End. and he's doing the end time teaching right now. And so I was like, oh, I got to watch this and see what he's teaching at this church right next door to me. And so I watched the first two episodes, and it's just what David is teaching, what has David has taught us. And it's just, and they're just glorifying the Lord through it and, you know, just praising the Lord through it. And so I don't know if I'll ever get an opportunity to go over there and talk to him or anything. That would be kind of neat because he's so close and it's hard to find fellowship here. So just, that was awesome. I thought that was so cool. Amen.
What's the name of it? What kind of church is it?
It's
non-denomination.
It's, let me see. I have it right here. Where is it? Oh, I lost it somehow. Oh, here it is. Oh, that's coming up. Hold on. Sorry.
Well, that's okay.
You know, I did notice, and I guess this is just something to pray about, is that, I mean, you know, the women weren't wearing head coverings or anything, and his wife is very involved in the women's ministry there. So, you know, I'm not sure where they are on everything, but it was exciting that they were at least teaching that.
Well, he's got to start with something. So that's what he's starting with. And I'm sure at some point in time, he'll come across all the teaching and begin right. to bring people into the realm of the true gospel, you know. That's awesome.
The name that's of awesome. His church is called Harris Memorial Church of God in Christ.
Oh, that's a Kajik church. That's awesome. Church of God in Christ. What's the first Harris Memorial?
Yeah, Harris Memorial. His name is Eric Bogan. There's a, like I said, a testimony on the website, on UBM site from him.
Okay. And what town is that?
He's in Flint.
Oh, he's way up there. In Michigan.
Right next door to me.
Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Well, that sounds like a church on fire for God, doesn't it?
Yes.
Waylon Reed's Sovereign yeah. God, if he hadn't already.
Yeah, that's why I have so many things I want to talk to him about, but it'd be kind of neat to meet with him.
Amen. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for another wonderful night together. We praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us. Lord, keep us on that road running after you with all our heart, Lord. Thank you for your infilling of the Holy Spirit in a way that would just change the world. We live in, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be with everybody tonight. Everybody tonight listening is going to get a good night's sleep in Jesus' name. Full night's sleep in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, that one message I sent to you about Michael Card, he's a really good singer. Too, I listen to him all the time.
Okay. All right.
Well, he's out on YouTube.
All right.
He's on YouTube. He has really good songs. Me and my mom love him.
Okay. All right. Well, if you and mom both like him, I'll have to check him out.
Okay.
All right. Y'all be blessed.